Right now on VFN TV, George Bond did a statistical study of the nation and us in the nation about what was our worldview. How do we see the world? Secularism, Marxism, how we see ourselves, how we see God. Do we even see God? Today, we're going to go in detail about that, and you're going to be really surprised what we found out about our nation right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Well, Donald Trump has expressed to the committee, the faith-based committee that he has expanded on, that when by the time he leaves office, he wants to be remembered as the most praying president in history.
We invite all Americans to join us as we continue to pray for those who have lost family members and friends, and for those who are suffering from this great crisis. We're going to be signing a day of prayer.
Mr. President, I think it goes without saying that at a moment like this, we all come together as Americans. We all bow to Almighty God. We ask for His grace and His mercy over those who are affected. And most of all, Mr. President, we thank you for acknowledging that ultimately it is God who is the source of our unity as Americans. And I thank you for issuing this proclamation. Thank you.
It's been called the most evangelical cabinet in history. Men and women who don't mince words when it comes to where they stand on God and the Bible.
Has this been done before in a cabinet formally?
I don't think there's been a cabinet Bible study in America in at least 100 years.
The seat of evil is going to come down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. I mean, God wants to bring down the evildoer, but we have to begin to cry out and turn our hearts to Him.
You know, the last day's language of the Holy Spirit is dreams. He said, well, it was just a dream. What do you mean, just a dream? Who knows what angels had to fight through to break into your world? To give you their thoughts and you just say, it's just a dream. I think the church needs to stop saying, it's just a dream.
If the righteous many do not confront the wicked few, then evil will triumph.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. What's your worldview? We don't even think about that question quite often. Sometimes it's just assumed. But so many people are trying to impact society and our culture and our population, people in our country, and the universities and schools and the communities, trying to tell us what their worldview is. And quite often, because we don't have a worldview, we don't take our time to find out what is the worldview, should I have a worldview about the world, that we just listen to the next person that we hear, and they tell us, we go, okay, I believe that. We send our kids to college, and the university professors begin to give them their worldview. You know, it's very important for you to have the right worldview. What's your view of the world? As a matter of fact, take a look at this, what Impact 360 with Barna Group put together. Listen to this.
This is Sasha. This is Sam. When they first met, it was just small talk about where to find the best coffee, the new high top she just bought, a book of poetry he found at a used bookstore, a new local band she discovered just last weekend, a zombie apocalypse movie he saw last night with some friends in his martial arts class, her homemade screen print t-shirt, and his favorite Chinese restaurant, which made them both hungry. So they got two orders of Mandarin chicken with brown rice, and then Sam opened his fortune cookie. Life's journey ends with a new beginning.
Whoa, that's deep. But in the real world, life's journey ends with an ending. When you die, you're done.
Well, yes, your body no longer works, but your soul continues to exist, don't you think?
Your soul? No, I don't believe in ghosts. We're physical creatures, material objects, just a collection of highly organized atoms. When your brain flatlines, that's it. Game over.
So you don't believe in life after death?
No. I mean, it's a comforting thought, but there's just no scientific evidence for it. I'd rather face the real world than believe in a fairy tale.
Yeah, I agree with you, Sam. It's best to face reality. But it may be that life after death is reality. I mean, think about it. If life just ends at death, then everything we do or say comes to nothing. What meaning or purpose can our lives possibly have?
Well, I guess my life has whatever meaning I choose to give it. I personally believe in truth, beauty, science, making the world a better place, saving the environment, freedom of speech, and, you know, tolerance.
Yes, that's all well and good. But what does all that matter if it ends in nothingness? What are your thoughts about God?
Which God? There are millions of gods.
The God that's in the Bible.
It's been proven that the Bible is just a bunch of mythology written by ancient desert nomads. But you know, if faith in God makes you feel good, I won't argue with that. But I personally prefer more of a rational, open-minded approach to life. Here's what I believe, Sasha. You shouldn't think anything is true unless it's been scientifically proven.
But has that belief itself been scientifically proven? Sam, you and I look at life very differently.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like we're from different worlds.
Not different worlds, different worldviews. A worldview is the set of lenses through which you see the world around you. It's a web of habit-forming beliefs that helps you make sense of all your experiences. Through your worldview, you interpret life in a particular way. It affects how you think, how you feel, and how you live from day to day. To understand what your worldview is, think carefully about the big questions of life. Does God exist? How did everything begin? Who am I? Why am I here? Am I living a good life? What happens after I die? Cabbages and puppies don't think about this stuff. But people do. Reflecting on these questions is part of what makes us human. In fact, every one of us has a worldview. What's yours?
The author of the book, Homo Deus, talks about, and he believes man is God. Everything begins with men. He talks about animals and men and anything living like that. We're all the same. And there's no difference. In the reality, that's his worldview. It's a worldview where he's saying that he's God and that man is God. But how do you live your life? Do you live your life by making decisions without seeking God's counsel or without talking to somebody that is walking with you in the Lord if you're a Christian or if you're not a Christian? Where do you get your ideas from? When you walk into a university, did you know that 70%, it's estimated 70% of Christians, they go to a secular university, a non-Christian university, change their worldview. They leave their faith after going to a Christian university. The question is, what are they teaching on that university? What worldviews are they teaching? And then you look at young people going to a Christian college. Over 50% of the ones that are Christians going to a Christian college reportedly leave their faith. You know why? Because they heard a wrong worldview, a different worldview other than God being the creator of the universe. I mean, you first have to believe that God exists before you actually understand how things are made, because everything was created by God. We're going to talk about that today, and we have a statistical breakdown of what people think about in regards to seeing it from a secular viewpoint, society, and how you live, and in regards to government, like Marxism. We're just going to break it down. You're going to be really surprised. Some of the things that we're going to find out, we're going to show you some interesting graphs thanks to the Barner Group. So join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We have people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube. I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFNTV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there. You can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFNTV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm telling you, listen, we'll be talking about what is your worldview. One of the most important things about us, John, is what is our view of the world.
That's right.
It's very important because there's eternal consequences for not knowing how this thing happened, who's doing it, and why I'm here, what's the origin of what's going on. What's so exciting is George Barna did a study, a statistical study, of where we are right now in society. And it's shocking, but it helps us understand that if people don't know the worldview, you know, we need to tell them what the worldview is. If you don't tell them what the correct worldview is, they're going to pick up any worldview.
And where are they picking it from? Television,
exactly.
Pop culture, magazines.
People are making payments on student loans that they paid money to hear somebody tell them a wrong viewpoint.
And oftentimes it's a foolish viewpoint.
Yeah, often. Yeah. If they're producing.
And how can two walk together, the Bible says, unless they be agreed?
Yeah.
So when you have two people with different worldviews, especially one that understands that they're trying to have a biblical worldview from God's perspective,
right,
you're going to have conflicting ideas and a conflicting relationship.
Mm-hmm. So let's find out what George Barna did in his study right here. It's powerful. We're going to talk about it, but then we're going to show you a graph that's going to kind of bring it together there. Start talking to us about that.
Barna's research shows that only 17% of Christians who consider their faith important actually attend church regularly have a biblical worldview.
So think about that. So you're saying, first of all, only 17% of Christians who consider their faith important,
right,
and attend church, so two combos there,
right,
have a biblical worldview.
17%!
Which means what?
Less than 2 out of 10.
Yeah, yes.
Less than 2 out of 10.
Out of 300 something million folks.
Who say that this Christian faith is important to them.
Yes.
And they're willing to invest one day a week, you know, to come to church.
Ever how their
fellowship
is. And then this is serious.
Very serious.
This is like, it says what it says to me. if what we're doing is not working, maybe we need to go back to God's original intent for the church.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to make it too fancy and too, you know, showmanship. We need to say, if this is what we're producing, 17% that have a biblical worldview, meaning that ever how God says the world is, so is it.
Time to catch a clue, right?
It's not working. We need to change what we're doing. And that's one thing that we try to do through Vine Fellowship Network, you know, is kind of help that, and through abiding, you know, help people abide. And it's why it's important to become a disciple, you know, learn about the biblical perspective as you're learning God's word, and you get your whole worldview changes. That's why Emmaus Road is so important. You know, if you're looking for a place to be able to change, to get the correct worldview, get on Emmaus Road. You can find that at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. And it's just get on that road to start. You'll start finding and learning about the things of God, and you'll realize, my goodness, God created the universe and everything
that's amazing.
Let's go on. This is 17% starting off. It's not good.
That's right.
Okay.
So if Christians are open to non-biblical perspectives, what are they believing?
Now, I want you to throw this graph up here as he's talking about. This is what we're going to be talking about.
So
you can see this right here.
So one of the things is
secularism is what the focus is.
Right, new spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Practicing Christians find the claims of new spirituality among most of the most enticing, perhaps because it holds a positive view of religion and emphasizes the supernatural. Simultaneously, it feeds into the growing dissatisfaction with institutions. For instance, almost 3 in 10, 28% practicing Christians strongly agree that all people pray to the same God or spirit, quote unquote, no matter what name they use for that spiritual being. Further, the belief that the meaning and purpose come from becoming one with all that is.
Right.
I'm gonna read that again, it's so important. They further that belief that the meaning, quote unquote, and purpose come from becoming one with all that is. Has captured the minds of more than one quarter of practicing Christians, 27%.
So the world's not the issue. The people that aren't Christians, it's ones that profess to be Christians.
Yeah.
But it's the people who says they're Christians that are making those kind of choices.
Yeah.
Okay.
The new spirituality worldview has also inched into its way into Christian ethics. One third of practicing Christians, 32%, strongly agree that if you do good, you will receive good. And if you do bad, you will receive bad. This karmic statement, though not explicitly from Scripture, appeals to many Christians' sense of ultimate justice. For example, another Barna study found that 52% of practicing Christians strongly agree that the Bible teaches God helps those who help themselves.
Right. And it's not true. These are just karma comes out of India, when some of the beliefs there.
Hinduism,
that, you know, it comes around. Even
what goes around comes around.
They believe in, you know, that you're going to be
reincarnated
and ever how you live this life, the next life's going to happen. You've got one life to live.
You better live it right.
You better live it right. It's appointed once a man to live and to die.
And then
we answer for our life before God.
Yeah.
And none of us can make a righteous argument.
Yeah.
But through Jesus Christ, that's a biblical worldview, is to understand that, you know, God created everything in the universe. He loved us, but because of the fall of man, our sin nature, that we had to have something that paid the price for our sin, because sin has to be paid for. So God gave his son to pay the price for his son, sinless, lived a sinless life. And he gave his son to die for us to pay the price for the reality of sin that's going on in this worldview.
Yeah. And whatever you view is, this is why it's so important to really be discussing and talking about this, because this is your paradigm. This is how you look at the world around you, and you're going to make decisions based upon what makes sense to you, what you've been convinced about.
Right.
And if that's in a science book or a pop culture or a teen magazine,
it has eternal consequences.
Of course, yes.
Yeah. So the it's not just a good idea. It's like, I'm stimulated by this class at the university. I'm stimulated by this program I'm seeing on the internet. It's like, it's important.
You're going to have an account for that belief.
Is it
worth explaining and, you know, having to deal with a God with it at the end?
And like the animation said, oh, there's plenty of gods. Which God? Well, no, there's only one God, one Lord, and one Spirit, and that's the reality of it. He exists in the three persons.
That's right.
Understanding that. So you need to know, you know, what this worldview is. And it should help us say, you know what, we need to stop funding universities that are taking our children away from God, away from us in the wrong way. They don't have to be around.
Yeah.
Stop sending them money. You know, stop letting people, you know, send the tax dollars to a university that tells people that you that a wrong worldview.
And Lord, don't send your kid to a school that's going to turn them against God and against their family and against their country.
Right.
Why would you send your kid there?
Well, I think a lot of people are just wanting separation between themselves and their child, and they see this as an opportunity. The kid's wanting separation to themselves and the parents, and they use a $20,000, $40,000, $50,000 decision to pay for an education that they'll pay for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
And it'd been better for them just to get a job and use the money to
be able
to learn on your own.
That's right.
But don't leave your worldview of God and that God created. But we're finding out it's not too good right now.
No.
It's just where we're at.
This report continues that overall, at least 61% of practicing Christians, 6 out of 10, embrace at least one of these ideas rooted in new spirituality. Now,
well, hold on a minute. So let's look at this graph, the secularism graph that you're seeing here on your screen. And on the left graph starts talking about a belief has, this is what people, this percentage of people who believe in this, a belief has to be proven by science to know that it's true or not. You know, and you hear people argue all the time. And the question is, when people say, says, you know, that has to be scientifically proven. And this is the question you can always ask everybody. Well, how do you scientifically prove that?
Right.
You can always ask these folks who have the wrong worldview, ask them the question they just asked you. You'll find out they don't have an answer for it. But you, if you are a Christian, you have the answer mm-hmm. if, in fact, you have the right biblical worldview to be able to share with them. So 10%, he's saying 10% have that worldview. And these are Christians who reported to be Christians. Now, there's not just anybody in the world. These are people who profess to be Christians. They're saying 10% total. They have that way. You got to prove it first. It's like, that's not faith at all.
And those 10% would be 100% wrong. Right?
100% wrong, because you got to be saved by faith. And faith is sure, being sure what you hope for and certain what you can't measure.
Yeah.
You know?
And not just blind faith, faith in God.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And so that 10%, you got to question who do you believe or not. But then you look at it breaks down for male and female right here. You can see on the graph, you know, it's 14% men. Men are higher. Men who profess to be Christians in this 10%. Men are higher in the, say, you know, prove it to me, give me some evidence.
Right.
Women are 7%. If you're under 45 years of age, 25%. And if you're over 45, it's 3%. So notice, if you look at the bottom of the graph right there on that side under that, it says the city or the urban areas is 22% say that.
Right.
And, of course, the suburbs is 5 and the rural areas 3. And notice the younger you get, this is what this is saying, the younger you get, and the closer you get to a city, a metropolis area, the more than likely you're going to get the wrong worldview.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're the second generation and you're born into that.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have another view outside of that. And the further you get away from the city, it's almost like Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, Abraham said, remember Steve Hill's last, one of his last powerful messages was circles. You know, how big is your circle? What's in your circle? Well, the next one says, you know, a person's life is in the middle here on the graph. A person's life is valuable only if society sees it is valuable. And these are Christians being asked this question. And we know we just had an election came up where one particular opponent was saying we can abort children all the way up until the day before they're born. Openly on the stage that this particular candidate was saying that. And the one that's president now said, I think that's horrific. Yeah, I think that's
terrible. That was not okay with him, is what he said.
Right. But 13%, though, who profess to be Christians, John, they're saying this is true.
Mm.
That a person's life value is only valuable if society says it's valuable. It's interesting that they ever think about what happens if tomorrow they say you're not valuable.
Right.
Right. Because they will.
Yeah. And, and it's really interesting to find out is how is it that this 13% came up with this worldview? I mean, the Bible says this and you're choosing to believe something else. Is it because it made sense to you? Picking and choosing of the scriptures of what's important.
Well, you're not even in
matters.
The Word. You're not actually in Scripture. Because it says right here, out of that, these 13%, you know, 16% is higher with, you know, men saying, you know, it needs to be viable, and they say it's society, it's valuable, therefore life's valuable. You're looking at above, under 45 years old, again, you're looking at 28%. So if you go back to the other viewpoint, it has to be proven in science, it's 25%.
So there's a trend, a consistent trend here.
So you're looking at under 45 years of age in America, you're looking at an unchurched, undiscipled church. These are Christians, people who profess to be Christians.
We've got work to do.
We got work to do. That's why we're doing what we're doing with VFN
right.
Kingdom Business. And so the one, far one on the right on the graph says, the meaning and the purpose come from working hard to earn as much as possible so you can make as most of your life. In other words, I'm working hard, so more money for me.
Yeah.
Well, 28% of Christians says that's true.
Meaning and purpose, not found in God, but 2 out of 10 professing Christians are saying that purpose comes from their own efforts, not what God's done for them on the cross.
Yes, and Jesus said very specifically, you cannot serve both God and money.
No.
And these are people that made, you know, money and wealth and the things that money gets as their God. Well, look, it says in regards to hard work, you look at the Hispanics, 27%, African Americans, 24%, white, 18%. If you're under 40, 45, 37%. If you're over in the city, it's 31%. Mm-hmm. Again, we're looking at if people who migrate towards city living, and you know what caused, you know, a lot to want to move to the city there was what was happening in the city. And people who live in cities are not evil or bad, but what the what's being taught there is not correct in a biblical worldview, and you're more likely to be tempted to get a wrong viewpoint. So you got to stay sturdy and strong if you're going to move into the city and you're called there. And then you're, of course, looking at over 45, that only 12% of Christians surveyed said that they still find their value in money. So it's still, you know, bad in regards to that.
Yeah.
It's like, what are we saying? What are we saying on Sundays? What are we talking about when our church gathers? What are we teaching?
Right.
There's never been more teaching, you know, in the world. But this is what we're getting from it?
Think about it. Never in history has there been more opportunities to get, like you're saying, teachings on iPhones and iPads and Christian bookstores. And yet, is it producing more committed followers of the Lord Jesus Christ?
You know, and I really believe it. It says it's not the most necessary. The teaching is the context of the teaching. In other words, if this is just you're teaching me life lessons, but you're not living your life around me, I want to see you live these values.
Yeah.
I want to see how you handle when you see people trying to explain life away scientifically, how you handle that and how God honors you for doing that. I want to see how you value life. Did you have your children or did you abort your children? Do you have a child and immediately put them in a daycare when you could have stayed home with them so you can earn more money?
Yeah.
You know, how do you value your kids?
Yeah.
So I think it's hearing it, but also seeing it in practice.
Well, we often say that discipleship is caught more than it is taught.
That's right. And that's, you know, so it's not, this is not a lesson plan from God. This is how things are created, a worldview. And of course, you know, making more money. What do you do with your money? Did you know 97% of regular church attenders, people who profess to be Christians, do not honor God with their finances and tithes and offerings? They don't do it. 97%. Well, why do we wonder why 20% say that it's all about money, you know, more money that you can earn? And it's like, you know, let your kids, let your people around you, not showing them so you get some particular gift, you know, from them, but just help them see you honoring God, you know, with
very
with,
important.
And it says that God is God. It says that Baal's not God, that it's not the work of your hands that's God. It's that God provided you that wealth, that money, that paycheck, that job, that strength to be able to earn that increase. And that helps people around you honor that.
Right.
And so that's very, very important.
Well, they understand that God is the source of all things, not some things.
Right.
Ultimately, God is the one.
And He is. You know, and don't you want to know the truth?
I mean, yeah.
It'd be a shame to be praying to some deity that's not God and that you're thinking it's God. This happened plenty of times. I mean, you study history. You know, some people say, well, I don't pray to an idol, but you actually can pray to money. Your whole life's talking about money. What is your conversation in your family and your kids and your wife and your workplace? Is it money, 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 money? Did you value the people in your workplace? You're an owner of a business and you say you're a Christian. Do they even know you're a Christian?
Yeah.
Then, you know, or are you constantly saying, you know, hit the bottom mark, where's it at? And you only talk well about them and good about them if they made more money for the company versus they're important to you because God says they're important to you. And ever how you treat your employees, God's going to treat you. He sees how you treat them. That's Ephesians chapter 6. That's a biblical worldview. Listen, we're going to go to break and we're going to continue on. We're going to talk about the next one is new spirituality, how the society, people who profess to be Christians, how they're looking at new spirituality. But first, we have this offer for you. I want to be able to send this to you. Here's the details.
Offer 2043, Life Beyond Your Storm. You will survive, but the boat will not. We are either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or headed into a storm, one man said. Is this you? It's hard for all of us to see beyond the storms of life when we are in them. These are the times all we have is our faith to hold on to. Because in a storm, quite often there seems like there is no hope. But with God, there is always hope. In this life, we will have storms, as Jesus said. But even though we know this to be true, in the eye of our life's storms, clarity quite often becomes an abstract idea. Learn how we can understand how God will keep us when we or others have made decisions that has brought us into a storm, how we can have peace in the storm, and how even though it wasn't God's plan for us to be in the storm, He can still use us in the storm because the storms of your life don't disqualify you for ministry. They prepare you for ministry and increase your anointing. Finally, among many other great wisdom nuggets spoken about in this message, you'll learn even when your boat, such as relationships, jobs, ministries, houses, and other things do not survive, you will, and your anointing will increase. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. Become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFN TV, 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2043, Life Beyond Your Storm. You will survive, but the boat will not.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
One of the most difficult responsibilities parents face is the task of letting go.
Dr. James Dobson for Family Talk.
When children are young, parents should be deeply involved in their lives, providing love and protection and authority. But when those boys and girls grow up and reach their late teens and early 20s, the door must be fully open to the world outside. It's the most frightening time of parenthood. The tendency is to retain control in order to avoid the pain of seeing our children make mistakes. However, teenagers are more likely to make the proper choices when they aren't forced to rebel in order to gain their freedom. The simple truth is that love demands freedom. They go hand in hand. But this is the key point. A sudden release of all parental guidance and direction at the end of childhood carries dangerous implications for the adolescent. We've all seen individuals who went a little crazy when they were put on their own for the first time. It's much better to grant independence little by little through the years as our kids are able to handle the new responsibility. The final release then should represent a small step toward freedom rather than a tumble off the cliff into anarchy. The goal is simple. We need to cut loose the strings of authority over a period of about 16 years so that when our children are beyond the reach of our leadership, they no longer need it.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
I'm looking at Newsweek magazine, and in a lead article by the famed Somalian writer who's an atheist, Ayaan Hirsi Ali. She actually was a former Muslim who became an atheist. She's brilliant in what she says. She begins her article by saying, "We hear so often about Muslims as being victims of abuse in the West. But in fact, a wholly different kind of war is underway, an unrecognized battle costing thousands of lives. Christians are being killed in the Islamic world because of their religion. It is a rising genocide that ought to provoke global alarm. Instead of falling for overblown tales of Western Islamophobia, let's take a real stand against the Christophobia infecting the Muslim world today. Tolerance is for everyone except the intolerant."
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are looking at a worldview. What is your worldview? And George Barna did a study, a statistical study of Christians. And it's amazing what we found out, what he found out. As a matter of fact, let's go up to this next graph. I want you to see this graph right here. We want to be able to it's called New Spirituality. We talked about the previous graph now. But notice, what does it say on the first top up left there, John?
All people pray to the same God or spirit, no matter what name they use for for that spiritual being.
28% of people who profess to be a Christian believing that if somebody's praying to Allah, if somebody's praying to all the thousands of Hindu gods and, you know, all the, they think they're actually praying to this. 28% of Christians. And you look at the underneath it, it talks about, you know, those that are under 45, again, it's 33%. Those that are over 35, it's under, over 35 is 26%. And those that are under is 45%. And notice at the very bottom of the graph there that it says, you know, those who live in an urban area, in the city area, 39%. Are you seeing a pattern there, John?
Mm.
It's like 39%. The suburban area is 25%, and the rural area is 22%. And so it's important because I remember sitting across the table at a restaurant and a particular man who's professed to be a Christian, he says that to me. He says, oh, well, it's really all the same God. It's like, it's not. It's very important. Listen, if you believe that, you know, Muhammad is Allah's prophet, then he wrote that Jesus, he says, first of all, there's no such thing as a Trinity. There's no such thing as the Son of God.
Right.
That they say that Jesus is a prophet, that he has to come back. He will come back, but he'll come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. And so you can't say that somebody in Islam is praying to the same God. That's
completely different.
One is anti-Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and the other one is synergy. Everything's being brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so that's very important. 28%, John, don't understand that. That's why we're going to talk about that. What's the second one talk about?
Meaning and purpose come from being one with all that is.
You know, people talk about that, you know, that
just be one. Yeah. It's just all the same thing. You know, we all worship everything.
You know, you see bumper stickers like that. They have all the different faiths.
Don't be divisive. Let's coexist. Let's not be divisive. Coexist.
And 28% of those
Christians
who profess to be Christians are saying,
yeah,
they could have a bumper sticker that has Islam, you know, by the crescent, which is Islam, or a cross. You know, in Judaism and
New Age
and Hindu and all the different, they have a bumper sticker with all the, and that's what this bumper sticker would line up with, that particular belief.
But that would be a wrong belief from a biblical perspective.
That is definitely a wrong belief. You know, it doesn't matter which wrong thing you choose. Wrong is wrong.
That's right.
You know, God is the creator of all things. If you haven't yet seen Genesis, the movie that has been put together, a very powerful movie, and it's in 3D, and you're seeing the creation of God and what takes place. And Eric Hovind and his whole crew put that together. It'll bless your heart. We'll make that available to you, how to get to it on the Torch. Make sure you check it out. But it helps you start getting a perspective. God created all things. And so even down the racial division in that, 35% of African Americans believe that it's all the same God.
Mm.
You know, 34% of, these are Christians, people who profess to be Christians. Christian Hispanics, 34%, you know, believe that. And I know if you go back and look at some of the twistings of Christianity as you further go down through Central America and Mexico and
like Cuba.
South and Cuba, how there's things, it's just men just added their stuff into it, you know, and I can see where people can really get confused.
Yeah, false religions, you have these saints, you know, and they give them all witchcraft stuff. All messed up.
At the same time, though, they're professing they're following Jesus Christ. Yeah. But, you know, looking at the age difference, you know, 38% of the younger under 45, you know, believe that. But the 45-year-olds, 22%. And I noticed if you're younger, if you are coming from more of a diverse culture from outside of America, because America is birthed on a Judeo-Christian values, not the world.
Yeah.
You know, and so when you're coming from, we're talking about people coming to America.
Sure.
You know, are they coming and bringing their beliefs and their religions? And yes, they are. As a matter of fact, the former president, he said openly, his belief system was, his worldview was, America's no longer a Christian nation.
Yeah.
And of course, that's strange back, but that was a viewpoint, and it's coming right out of 35% of African Americans that profess to be Christians. Believe that kind of worldview.
Absolutely.
So that's very important. So we got to let everybody know what is the correct biblical worldview. And this is what George Barna found out.
And this makes sense if only 19% of professing Christians are actually reading their Bible according to another Barna research program.
Right.
And of the 19% that are reading their Bible, Only 3% feel it's their own spiritual responsibility for their own spiritual development.
To make life changes based on what they read, not just to read it to know, but read it to do.
So uninformed people that call themselves Christians, which is, following the way, or don't know the way to follow.
Right, right. So out of the people reading the Bible, it's something like 90, I'd say, what percentage of the people have a Bible? What percentage of the people read the Bible? And it's out of that, I don't know, it's 3%. Out of the 17% that read the Bible, I believe it is, 3% make those life decisions based off that. It's interesting, too, that the 3% honor God, saying that he's the one that created everything, and honor him with the first fruits, tithes, and offerings, and 3% abide with him, and read his word and does what it says. That's pretty interesting. 3, 3, 3. So this last one is what?
If you do good, you'll receive good. If you do bad, you'll receive bad. That's that karmic thing he was
karma.
Mentioning.
You hear people talk about karma. It's like, listen, if we had karma, true karma they're talking about, no one's righteous, no, not one, with the grace of God. But the word of God does say a man will sow what he will reap what
reap
he sows.
What he sows.
But I know from personal experience that God can forgive and he can change the course of your life. And if you were going to reap, all this bad harvest, that when you make your life right with God and you repent for your sins, he changes that harvest and he takes the blows. That's what he did on the cross. And so that's why being a Christian is not saying you're perfect. It's saying you needed a Savior.
You're forgiven.
That you're forgiven. And that's a correct worldview. So 32%, John, believe that profess to be Christians, that if I go do good, then good's going to happen to me. And this is the problem with that. The problem with that is that they're doing it for themselves. And we're supposed to do good as Christians so that God gets the glory.
Yeah.
He says, let your light shine in such a way that people see your good deeds and that your Father in heaven gets the glory. Well, a biblical worldview helps you understand this is not about me. As a matter of fact, Jesus even said when somebody said, good teacher, he said, who are you calling good? No one's good but God. So a biblical worldview helps you understand it's not that what we do is bad, but it's the good that comes out of us. That's because God's good.
Yeah.
God's in us and he's empowering us to do, what we're doing. That's a correct biblical or worldview. And so you have a 32% that don't believe that. And notice again, it's the younger and it's urban in the city. So when you see somebody going like, I just feel this drawing to the city. I mean, there are a lot of things that cause our flesh to go, oh, this is great. Whatever it is. And that's what we've got to really think about.
Yeah.
I
think part of
wrong.
That probably has to do with the high concentration of population. The city, more people, you're going to have more opportunities for these things to surface.
Right.
But I think it's interesting.
And a lot of different worldviews going on at the same time.
At the same time, absolutely.
One block has one worldview.
Oh, yeah.
In Jersey, you can go to the next block and have another worldview.
Absolutely.
Another block because people live within
different
a block.
Different cultures, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it makes me really realize and understand why Jesus' prayer in John 17 has still not been answered, that he prayed that the church would be one. How could we be one following the ways of the Lord if 3 out of 10 of us or, 2 out of 10 of us don't even agree with what God said we're supposed to
do? Yeah, a lot of people want to unify, but they aren't unifying around the principles and the worldview, biblical worldview. And the thing about it, if you unify your life around Christ and a biblical worldview, you don't have to worry about getting friends around you because other people that have a biblical worldview are going to be attracted to you.
That's right.
They're going to go, wow, let's get some coffee. I mean, people know that you're following Jesus. There's something about you that they know you spent time with Jesus. And so it's so important to have that view. It's not about an intellectual place of gaining some level or not, but it's about being with God. And just as we behold him, we're transformed. Listen, we're about to go to a break. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk specifically about postmodernism. What do people who profess to be Christians, statistically, what did that survey say? This is very enlightening. It should show you as a parent, like, I need to teach my children about God. I need to learn about God. I need to be, we talk quite often, you need to get on Emmaus Road. You need to get discipled. What we're saying is, and you can find that at vinefellowshipnetwork.org, we're just saying this, that you need to get a right worldview. You need to get a right worldview.
You need to abide, yeah.
Because it's going to be eternal consequences or benefits for having that particular view. Well, listen, we're going to go to a break. We're going to come right back because this is amazing what we're going to find out about having a postmodernism. How do people really think about things that call themselves Christians? Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Precision Overhead Garage Door Service, proudly serving the Gulf Coast. Call us today for all of your new garage door needs and repairs. Just listen to one of our satisfied customers.
We at Hill Kelly Dodge Chrysler Jeep and Ram went with Precision Doors because they gave us the best quote to begin with. But it turns out that they give us the best quality, their integrity, they've been true to their word, and they've been there every time we needed them.
Whether residential or commercial, don't sacrifice quality or service. Call Precision Garage Door Service first.
So what's in your storage closet? Old photos, baseball cards? One contractor found a rare comic book in the walls of an old house, and the book sold at auction for a reported $175,000.
These finds pale in comparison to what was discovered in the 19th century in Cairo. Over 200,000 fragmentary Jewish texts stored in a synagogue in an ancient storage closet known as a geniza. The copies in this geniza contained errors and would only be kept until they could be buried, a ceremonial requirement for any imperfect manuscripts.
The Cairo Geniza manuscripts were the largest and most extensive manuscripts in the world, representing 1,000 years of Middle Eastern history, including extensive translations and interpretations of the Hebrew Bible. The discoveries continue to unfold even today. Engage with the Bible in the discovery of its many layers.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFNTV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFNTV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are looking at what is the worldview of Christians who profess to be Christians, surveyed done by George Barna. And now we're going to actually look at, because we've got a short period of time to cover this, is postmodernism.
Yes.
What's he say about this?
Postmodernism emerging as a critique of rationalism, the belief that everything can be explained objectively through scientific method. Postmodernism advances the idea that there is no such thing as objectivity. Postmodern thought argues that claims on ultimate reality are subjective by virtue of their context, that is, we are all limited by our experience. And at best, we can know only what is true for ourselves. For example, almost 1/5 of practicing Christians, 19%, strongly agree that no one can know for certain what meaning and purpose there is to life.
19%.
That's what?
And the whole thing about Christianity is you know your destiny.
Right.
Yes, okay.
Okay. A similar perspective also resonates with many Christians when it comes to views of morality. Almost 1/4 of practicing Christians, 23%, strongly agree that what is morally right or wrong depends on what an individual believes.
Which is, how do you know that?
It's a complete opposite of the Bible.
Of course, yes it is.
Less educated Americans, high school or less, are more likely to affirm this view than their college educated counterparts, 31% compared to 21%. Mm-hmm. 23% of Christians strongly agree what is right or wrong depends on what an individual believes.
That's crazy, you know, that's why they push the Bible. Thank God for the Bible of the museum that's going in. And there's so many Bibles everywhere. We need to start reading our Bibles. Let's take a look at this graph here, postmodernism. This is a statistical study that he's talking about that of Christians who profess to be Christians. What does the first one say at the top over here?
No one can know for certain what meaning and purpose there is to life.
19%, John. They wake up every day realizing there's no meaning, no purpose to life. 19 Christians.
Christians. People call themselves Christians.
Yes. And it's like, you know, you need to get in the Word of God. You'll find out everything's there. But also you're looking at, in regards to men, men are quite unchurched in our culture because of the way we're doing church.
Correct.
And we talk more about that later on. But also under 45, 32% under 45 and 13% over 45. Again, it's younger again. And you notice at the bottom, it has to do with those who are higher numbers are, again, the urban areas and city areas.
Young men in our cities in particular, even
correct,
more than females.
So that statistically would be the highest in that.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the second one?
What is morally right or wrong depends on what an individual believes.
Can you imagine asking your teenager, what's morally right today?
No.
Not cleaning my room is like definitely it. Not going and getting a job.
Right.
So 23%, John, 23% believe that way. These are not the world. This is people who profess to be Christians.
And this is why this is so important when, if people are gathering in a local gathering, they're taking opinions by what someone else,
right.
Well, that Christian family says it's okay. Well, what does the Bible say?
Well, that
okay?
Happens too when a preacher preaches to the crowd, teaches to the crowd, instead of actually preaches and teaches the Word of God,
from
the Word of God. And it's like, you're probably going to lose some folks in your congregation or your fellowship when you start speaking the truth. But the ones who stay are the ones who agree with the truth.
That's right.
That's right. But again, you're looking at the bottom of 23%, the individuals that believe that they're the ones that pick their own morality. Again, it's a young male, 31%. Education makes a difference,
big
how educated you are. And in the urban area again. So what's the third?
If your beliefs offend someone or hurt their feelings, it is wrong.
Unless they're hurting your feelings, right?
15%.
Right.
So Jesus hurt a lot of people's feelings by telling the truth.
Right, right, exactly.
They would consider him wrong.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I want to go right now to, you hear this thing about tolerance. I want you to see this thing done by Barna. It's very powerful because you'll understand they're tolerating everything but Christianity and about Jews, anything about God himself. As a matter of fact, let's take a look now.
Okay, so I heard you're a Christian.
Yes, the rumors are true.
Well, I'm glad you found something that works for you.
Well, it doesn't just work for me. Christianity is actually true. It describes reality.
Yeah, okay, it's true for you, but it's not true for everyone. And don't you think everyone has a right to believe whatever they want to believe?
Yeah, people should choose their own beliefs. I'm all for that. But that doesn't mean that everyone's beliefs are true.
Whoa, don't you think that's a little narrow-minded?
Well, that's the way truth is. It's narrow and exclusive.
Maybe for you.
It is for everybody. 2 + 2 = 4. Right. But you just excluded lots of numbers. See, that doesn't mean you're narrow-minded. It means that truth is narrow because it excludes all the answers that are not true.
Okay, that works for math, but not for personal beliefs. My philosophy professor says there's two kinds of truth. There's absolute truth, like back in the Dark Ages, if something was true, it was objectively true for everybody, everywhere, all the time. But now he says we're enlightened, and we know there's no such thing as absolute truth.
Is it absolutely true that there's no absolute truth?
Absolutely. And the other kind of truth is where each individual creates his or her own reality. That's called relative truth.
And does your relative truth apply to me too?
Huh?
Is the relative truth you've created true for everyone or just you?
Oh, relative truth applies to everyone, everywhere.
So relative truth is absolutely true?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Look, with so many beliefs out there, you can't just go around believing that your belief is right.
Is your belief that you shouldn't believe your belief is right, right?
Yeah. If you go around saying that Christianity is absolutely true, it makes people who disagree with you feel bad. It's a form of oppression. It's hate speech. And that's why our campus has all those safe spaces.
Let me get this straight. If our beliefs are different, that means I'm oppressing you, I hate you, and you're not safe?
Pretty much.
Come on. Are you feeling oppressed right now?
Well, no. I just think people shouldn't express their personal beliefs.
Dude. You're expressing your personal belief that expressing a personal belief is wrong.
Well, let's not make value judgments like right and wrong.
So saying an idea is right or wrong is wrong, right?
You're right, it's wrong. Telling someone they're wrong is just not right.
Right.
It's what's known as intolerance, and that's one thing society should never, ever put up with.
Intolerance.
Yeah. Like, okay, for example, you Christians always say that Jesus is the only way. That's about as intolerant as you can get. Lots of people aren't Christians. Just think how it makes them feel.
But it's a fact that Jesus made the exclusive claim that he was the only way to God.
That's just your opinion.
No, really, I didn't make it up. It's a historical fact that he made that claim. The earliest first century biographies document that Jesus said he was the door to heaven. He also said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me."
Well, then, if Jesus made that claim, then he was intolerant.
Wait a sec. If your doctor tells you that one and only one particular medicine will cure your disease, do you tell her she's being narrow-minded and intolerant?
No.
This is the same thing. Jesus is saying that he's the one thing that all of us need.
So you're saying I have to believe this?
No, you can decide to believe whatever you want. That's your call. But you can't change the historical fact that Jesus made this huge claim about himself.
So I'm entitled to my own opinions?
Yeah, but you're not entitled to your own facts. None of us are. Jesus made the claim, and it's either true or false. How you evaluate that claim is entirely up to you.
My philosophy professor never talked about this stuff.
Yeah, I know. Tolerance doesn't mean that we have to agree. In fact, you can't tolerate people you agree with because you agree with them. There's nothing to tolerate.
Huh. I never thought of that.
Tolerance means that you disagree with someone, but you still give them the right to be wrong.
Okay, wow, this is cool. Do you have time for coffee? Let's see if we can tolerate each other some more.
Sounds good. How tolerant are you? Take the tolerance quiz and find out.
I couldn't say it any better than that. Beautiful. I couldn't say it any better than that. Listen, I want to pray with you right now. Father God, we love you. We thank you. Lord, we thank you that we can believe you. We can follow you. We're free in America for the First Amendment to be able to worship freely and honor you and practice our religion. But I pray, Lord, for each and every one right now, Lord, as they shift in their understanding of tolerance and intolerance, that everyone has their right to believe in you and to follow you, or not to believe. But the eternal consequences for that, you talk about that in the Word. I pray that each and every one that sees this program today, that they would make you, Lord Jesus, the Lord of their life, God. And we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell,
mm-hmm,
and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org.
You've got to meet my father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.